pastimes from the ninth canto. This is the downfall of Shobari Muni. Ikshvaku is included as a son of Vaivashvata Manu, but actually he was born in a very special way. Ikshvaku didn't have any mother except the nose of his father. Very interesting birth. Ikshvaku was born from King Shrutadev's nostrils when the king sneezed one day. Once Maharaj Ikshvaku was doing yajna and he asked his son Bhikkhukshi to go to get some sacrificial animals for the yajna. There's certain animals that the kings can hunt and kill and then offer oblations, and I think they can even eat them, or at least if they want to. Rabbits and porcupine and wild boar, a few of these animals, wild jungle animals, they can kill and eat. And if, as long as they offer a sacrifice or yajna, then their animal gets elevated and they get free from the sin of killing any living entity. Somehow Bhikkhukshi, the son of Ikshvaku, he was out there hunting, became hungry, and so hungry he forgot what he was doing and he ate one rabbit. Vasishtha was the Kula Devata doing the yajna, and he understood that Ikshvaku's son Bhikkhukshi had already eaten a rabbit, which ruined the whole offering. The king, when he heard this from Vasishtha, he ordered his son to get lost. So he banished him from the kingdom. After some time, Ikshvaku renounced his whole kingdom and followed the yoga path in the jungle and became a perfect yogi. And then his son Bhikkhukshi returned and he became the king. And Bhikkhukshi was given a nickname by the people. Shashada means the rabbit eater. Very interesting. People were fond of giving names according to the qualities of the individuals. Parikshit, he was the emperor that examined everyone looking for God he saw in the heart, Vishnu. And Duryodhan was a bad fighter. Yudhishthir, Yudha, fighting Sthira. Fixed and steady and fighting Hud. So he was a king. He had a regular name, Bhikkhukshi, but his nickname was King Shashada because he could never live down that misdeed of eating a rabbit one time that was intended for yajna. So once the demigods were fighting with the demons as usual, and they asked King Shashada to give his son to help. So this son was very powerful. His name was Puranjaya. So he said, I'll go and kill all these demons. I have the power. But he made a rather unusual request. He wanted his Viman to be Indra. And Indra just said, forget it. And Vishnu ordered him. So Indra turned himself into a big bull like Nandi. So by riding that Viman of the bull, he was the Puranjaya, later became known as Indrawaha or Indrawahan. So all the demons came and he sent them all to Yamaraj's kingdom. So this son of Bhikkhukshi conquered all the demons and gave everything to Indra, all the spoils of war. And there's so many different generations described. And there was one king appeared, King Yuvanashwa. He had no sons, so he went to the forest with his wives to take vanaprast. And Van Rishi saw these people were very unhappy. So he told them to do an Indra Yajna to get a son. Very interesting. So while they were doing this yajna to get a son, one night that king Yuvanashwa was so thirsty, entered into the Yagyashala, and he drank some water. That was very special water that the Brahmins had prepared to feed his wife. So the Brahmins awoke the next morning and found that that sanctified water disappeared. And then they discovered that the king had drank the water unintentionally. And then they said, well, just see what Providence arranges. And somehow, this king, Yuvanashva, produced a child. And when the baby came out, he wanted milk. And then the Brahmins were saying, well, who's going to take care of this child? And because it was an Indra Yagya, Indra came there. And he put his index finger in the mouth of the baby and said, you can drink my milk from my finger. And somehow, it's quite an amazing Leela. By the mercy of the Brahmins, King Yuvanashva did not die after giving birth to the child. What to speak of the amazing thing that he gave birth to a child. He performed various austerities. That son was named Mandata. And he was so powerful that even Ravana was afraid of him. He got the mercy of God and became the emperor of the entire earth. He was always doing yagyas, giving charity to the brahmanas and worshipping Lord Vishnu. So he had a lot of children. He had 3 sons and 50 daughters. So Mandata was busy ruling the world, and nearby in the river Yamuna, there was a great vairagi named Shobari Rishi. But somehow he saw some fish while he was under the water doing austerities, quite an amazingly powerful yogi, somehow maintaining his life underneath the Yamuna. He, by chance, glanced at some fish having sex. He became agitated to enjoy that way. And he went to the nearby kingdom in Mathura, controlled by King Mandata. And he asked for a daughter up from the king. And the king said, well, O sage, O Brahmana, whatever man my daughters want to marry, they can marry him. By this time, Shobari was not very attractive, so it was doubtful anybody would accept him. So Shobari was thinking, my skin is wrinkled, my hair is gray, my head always trembles, and I'm a yogi, I'm skinny. What woman wants to be attracted to me? So I'll use my mystic power and become young again. So he did that, returned, and when all the princesses, all 50 of them, they said, wow, Daddy, oh, Mandata Prabhu, Big Daddy, we want to marry this person, no one else. So then Shobari made a wonderful arrangement for them, palace and seats and baths and all kinds of facility, and he pacified them and engaged in all kinds of family affairs. So Shobari, even though he had all this fantastic opulence and queens, he was still unhappy. And he lamented one day about his fallen condition. I was once a great yogi, and now I'm just a big sense enjoyer. Just see what can happen if one becomes agitated by his surroundings. Everyone should hear about my story of fall down. If someone is smart, he must give up the association with those interested in sex life. One should stay in a secluded place and absorb himself in meditating on Vishnu's charan, and only associate with Vaishnavas. Somehow, due to glancing at the sex activities of the fish, I became interested. And I have 100 children, each of my 50 wives. That's 5,000 children. Although I could be happy in material life, I actually see there's no end to desires or sense enjoyment. My desires will never end in this life or next life. Actually, there was some cause for the fall down of Shobari Muni. It was not the glancing at fish having sex underwater, the Yamuna, but it was due to his previous Vaishnava aparad had now fructified. Garuda Vishnu's Vahan had come to the Yamuna to eat fish, which is his allotted foodstuffs, and the Shravari Muni said he would curse him if he came there again. So in this way, he committed a great aparad, and he suffered the consequences by losing his taste for tapasya, increasing his taste for material enjoyment, and falling down to mundane griha-medi life. Eventually, he became detached and retired to the forest as a vanaprast, and returned to the spiritual world. This is the story of Shobari Rishi. Next, there's a story of some descendants of Mandata. And one of his sons, he had one son, or actually seven, 150 years after, seven generations after King Mandata. In his dynasty was another Satyavrata, a different one. His name is Trishanku. He went to the heavenly planets in his earthly body. But the demigods said, forget it, and they pushed him back to Earth. So apparently it's not so easy to land on the moon as scientists claim they did in 1968 or so. 69, NASA, National Aeronautics Space Administration, NASA of America, they claimed to have landed someone on the moon, and Prabhupada was very adamant, addressing all the newspapers who were very keen to hear his story. And Prabhupada said, they never went to the moon, it's impossible. You can't even get into America without a visa. If you try to come into America by force, they will arrest you or turn you back, turn you away, deport you. The immigration people will deport you, send you back to your country if you don't have proper visa or passport or permission or P forms or whatever you need. So what to seek of the higher heavenly planets, demigods, you cannot just bust your way in an earthly body or in a space suit or a spacecraft or a space capsule. And Prabhupada said they never went to the moon. Maybe they went to Arizona desert or some nearby place. But the moon is a very, very high, high heavenly planet. So this is the case here. And this earthly person, King Trishanku, tried to go there and to some heavenly planet, and the demigod said, forget it. They kicked him away. And he didn't fall back to Earth. He just ended up hanging in the sky with his head downwards and can be seen as some nakshatra in the sky. This Trishanku had a son, Harishchandra. Once Vishwamitra was performing a sacrifice for his Jajaman, King Harishchandra. And Vishwamitra became angry with that King Harishchandra, and he took away everything he had and said that was Dakshina. Vasishtha Muni, who always had some kind of disagreement with Vishwamitra because he was a self-made yogi, before he was a king, and he failed at that, so he was defeated by Vasishtha. So he took up yoga to become a self-made yogi. So Vasishtha didn't finally accepted him, but never really liked him too much. When he heard about this, he thought this behavior was unbecoming for a rishi. So then Vasishtha and Vishwamitra, they started fighting. They started counter-cursing each other. One said, you become a bird. The other said, you become a duck. And they fought for years. Each rishis would change their forms and fight in different forms. Harishchandra, unfortunately, didn't have any son. So he begged Varunadeva to please give him a son. Then Harishchandra got a son named Rohita. So then Varunadeva went to Harishchandra and said, okay, I gave you a son, now give him back to me as a yajna. We wanted to actually use him in a human sacrifice. So Harishchandra said, okay, actually you can't sacrifice a human being until 10 days after birth. So then 10 days later, Varuna came back and said, give me your son, I want to offer him in yajna. Harishchandra is very clever. He says, only when an animal has teeth is considered pure enough to offer. So eventually the child's baby teeth came in. Varuna came back and said, okay, the animal, the child, the baby, the human, he has teeth. So now give me the kid to make a sacrifice. Very clever. Harishchandra said, no, but these baby teeth will fall out and then you'll have no teeth and still he's not sufficient. So then the big teeth came in and Varuna came back and said, okay, now give me the kid. I kept postponing it back and forth like this because obviously Harishchandra was very attached to his son. He didn't want to see him get annihilated in a yajna, human sacrifice. So the son, Rohita, he could understand that Harishchandra had made some pact with Varuna to offer him to be sacrificed. So he went to protect himself because survival is the first law of nature. That son, Prince Rohita, he took a bow and arrow, went to the forest. Rohita heard that his father was very diseased and he should come home, and he wanted to. But Indra disguised himself as a Brahmana and told Rohita that he should rather go to holy places and get punya and not bother dealing with his father. So for 1 year, Rohita wandered here and there. And at the end of the year, when he finished that 1 year, he wanted to return home to see his father's condition, his father Harishchandra. Indra again approached him and said, no, you better go another year. After 6 years, that Prince Rohita came home to Harishchandra's house and he bought some child named Sunashepa. And he said, listen, Dad, you can give him to Varuna to sacrifice. So a great human sacrifice is arranged and Vishwamitra was a chief priest. And so they bought this kid, Sunashepa, to the fire yoga, and he said, well, really, can you, Varuna Dev and you other demigods, please spare my life? So then, somehow, Indra was happy with Harishchandra, so he gave him a gold chariot. And Vishwamitra, because of the king's qualities of truthfulness and tolerance, he gave him spiritual knowledge to realize the goal of human life. And Sunashepa, per his begging request, was protected by the demigods, and he was very spiritually advanced, and he got the name Devarata. King Harishchandra is famous in Vedic history for his charity and his tolerance, losing everything but never losing his cool. King Harishchandra ki jai.